This is the In the Field podcast, brought to you by Pheasant Bonanza.
This is the In the Field podcast, brought to you by Pheasant Bonanza. In the chairs today are the one and onlys, no longer greenhorns. Well,
yeah, it depends.
They're still greenhorns. Guides of Pheasant Bonanza. Well, guy, this is going to be, I guess, another podcast calls it Guides Roundtable, but I don't think they actually have a round table, and we do, so.
Well ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got J. Hank.
Hello, everybody.
Spelled with two E's.
That's right. God.
And Spencer Parker. Before we, yeah, I'm sorry, your new nickname is Double E.
Double E?
Double E.
There's worse things.
You know, that was one of the first things you told me when I started working here was I give everybody a nickname, and I haven't heard one yet.
You know, you're just kind of, you're Spencer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's my name.
I know, but you're just, I mean, you haven't earned a nickname yet. I'm not saying, like, you don't always want a nickname.
Well, that's true. That's true. I've heard some of your nicknames, and they're not always endearing, so no. I guess.
Well, that's why I can live with Double E.
That's true. Yeah, that's not bad.
Could be a lot worse.
It could be named. We got Butters. We got Vacuum.
Which Butters is a good one. That's a solid one.
Lunchbox.
Vacuum, you guys never is another solid one.
Hordor.
Hordor. I forgot. about Hordor.
Yeah. That is a great one. Very accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spencer's been here almost a year now.
Almost.
What are you, 10 months?
Something like that. Yeah.
Jay's been here how long?
A little over six, beginning of September.
Beginning of September.
Rookie.
I know. I'm the green one.
Thoughts of the season. Started off Double E.
You know, I came into this just really hoping for a chance. I've learned so much. I feel I'm doing a decent enough job. The dogs are great. The clientele is top notch. This organization is something I'm proud to be a part of. I'm really, really happy for the opportunity. And yeah, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. That's for sure.
Can be meaner, is what he's saying.
Yeah, you got to start off real nice and, you know, kind of find your place. Then you can start cracking ass.
Then they get set in their ways and like, oh, he turned into a dick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you, Spencer? What were just initial thoughts of the season? Coming from, because you've guided before.
Yeah.
Going from being a duck guide to a pheasant guide.
Yeah, I kind of thought you were messing with me a little bit when you said Ruby will get 5,000 retrieves. And I think you might have undershot it a little bit. We'll put it that way, yeah. A lot of birds, a lot of good times, couple close calls, but not that many. So we're very thankful for that. So we made it through the season for the most part, unscathed.
And it's a lot different. You're not sitting in a blind with them. You're on your feet with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm used to everybody in a straight line shooting in the same direction. And, sometimes these birds get up and they fly wherever they want to, that's for sure. And sometimes that might be right at your face. So,
you know, I have not had 2 days that are even close to the same. And that's something that I've learned about this first year is you can always expect something different. It's 99% of the time it's something good. I did have recently kind of a down day.
Let's talk about it. All right. Yeah. So I am doing Jay's things. I don't know what I was doing. I think I was in the office.
I think so.
I was in the office and I get a call. I need you to pick up a dog. It's got a pellet in it from Jay.
Yep.
Go ahead and like, what was going on?
It was a good hunt. It was a hunt that was a little bit different because it was in a new area. There was trees that were separating the hunters, and I was on the side that I couldn't really see what was going on. Birds are coming up. People are shooting. Things are good. Nobody says anything. I don't hear a dog. And then all of a sudden, dog comes up, and she's got bloody paw prints. This was in the snow. And I immediately, heart started racing, and I checked her out, and she was bleeding pretty good out of one leg. I could only find, you know, one hole. That's why I said a pellet. And as I am examining the dog, I ask what happened. And then at that point, one of the hunters admits, hey, I may have shot this dog accidentally. Hindsight now, I think I'm going to be a little bit more gruff or curt maybe with the hunter as soon as that happens. But at this moment, this first time that this happened to me, I was just so nervous about the dog that I really, my focus was getting this dog, taking care of it. So I called you immediately and it went the way it did. Thank God everything's fine. And she's actually hunting again and very, very well. You can't even tell.
Yeah, disclaimer, the dog is okay.
The dog is always wonderful. She's fine. Turned out to be, what, 17 pellets?
17 pellets.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a pain in the butt because it was in, we'd lost power, and a lot of this area had lost power. So I had to drive her 45 minutes to a vet clinic that was open and had power. And, you know, initially looking at her, you just seen a couple few spots. So I was like, okay, maybe a couple strays, you know, that happens. X-rays say differently.
Yeah.
When there's, you know, 17 of them in there. So there was a low shot. And like you said, you were on the other side of a group of cedars. So you didn't quite know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
The way it sounds like, bird came out, was shot, and then the dog popped out of nowhere. And we were going uphill. So that's just something to think about when you are hunting. Yeah, the bird might be high enough for that initial shot, but up there, and we solely was probably only 25 yards up, but you don't know what's up there on that hillside unless you're not hunting with a dog or you are hunting with one or two dogs that you know where they're at. But when you, like us, we drop four or five on the ground at a time, you really don't know where all of them are at all times. So be cautious with your shooting, but knock on wood, she's fine. She's hunting still. She blew my mind. She was not hurting.
No. I had to stop her from hunting. Like, she wanted to keep going, even in the immediate, you know, and she didn't yelp or anything like that. And apparently when she got in the truck, she was all over the place as well.
She was bouncing around the vet clinic. Like, the doctor was like, she got shot?
Yeah.
And like, then we started looking at her like, oh, yeah, she got shot. And then that night, you could tell she was getting sore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, that night, she felt it.
That was the first time it's happened in my 5 years, and I thought that was pretty astonishing. Like, you know, I'm sure dogs reacted to it different, and she is a tough little dog. But that blew my mind a lot, is how tough she was about it. And just so the listeners know, when that happens, sometimes dogs get gun-shy.
Afterwards,
they correlate that gunshot to them getting shot, which so
hard to blame them.
Yes. So they don't always bounce back. I'm guessing she's just such a high drive dog. There's nothing to do. And to be honest, you know, sometimes I've heard of, there was another kennel or a hunt club that had a dog get shot. They had to amputate the leg.
Mm.
They don't do much for it. They're not digging out those BBs. They say it'll scab over. You'll pull that scab off, and a lot of times that body will kick out that BB. But they just give you some pain medication and some antibiotics and say, here you go.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising to me. I thought they'd maybe try to do a little something, but I guess, you know, once you explain it, you're like, well, yeah, they're going to do a lot more damage going in there.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to make a way bigger hole going in there and get it out. Yeah,
so it does make sense. So.
And it's, what, 2.5-3 weeks later at the most, and she's hunting. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't even tell. No, she is tough as nails, this dog.
And she's just a great dog.
She
anyways,
is. She
know.
Is.
Yeah. She's back in it. Yeah. Which is great news.
I was sad. I mean, it kind of messed me up for a couple of days, whole thing.
It was
you know?
A dreary day around this place, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Not
a fun time.
My next hunt that I did was guiding friends of mine, and that was good. I needed to get out and have a good hunt amongst comfortable people and have everything work out. And now I'm good to go, you know, and the dog is good to go, you know, and so.
Because an experience like that can, like, I'm done guiding.
Yeah. And I know of a guide who that happened to, where his dog was actually killed in the field.
And he was done.
Yeah.
He was done. Mm-hmm. He still has dogs and lets Troy bring him up here, but. He's only, in my 5 years, only guided once a year up until last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same group, but that was it. I mean, he was one of the original guides. Like, Troy and Frosty,
yeah,
were the original guides.
But that's probably the worst day I had here, yeah, without question.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Well, yeah.
That makes you, you know, it makes you realize how important those pre-hunt safety speeches are. You know, we always give those, and
it's always the guys that have hunted before.
Yeah. Yes, it's never the new people. They're always very hesitant, which they I'm appreciative of.
Yeah, they don't shoot unless that bird's straight up in
which
the air.
Which I appreciate to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. There are some times where you're like, yeah, you could have shot that bird, but I'd rather you hesitate than go for it.
Yeah.
If you've got any question, you know.
Since that happened to me, and I know that, you know, you did the safety talk for a big group, Jace, the other day, the hunters are now more cautious.
Oh, you slide that in there.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, we're not going to shoot anything underground because the dogs, is this kind of money if you shoot one? Oh, and by the way, it happened.
Yeah.
You know, last week or
see,
whatever.
See, that's always the thing. Yeah. Like, everyone's asked about it. They're like, does that really happen? I'm like, well, it has happened before. This happened twice. I wasn't here, so I didn't know.
Yeah.
None of us knew the expectations or how it all went down. Now that we've seen it happen and we can say it, yeah. We've seen it happen.
Yeah. Because you definitely don't see that much in waterfowl, you know.
Yeah.
You're not shooting. The dog is always under control, and it's a totally different game, you know. And that was something that I was a little hesitant about. When you bring your own dog out here,
yeah,
you know, it's a little different.
It is way different. Way, way different. And, I mean, as far as the shooting goes, because when you come out of a blind, you see the birds.
Yeah.
You don't see this bird till it is, a lot of times, shootable.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, mm-hmm. They get up and get going. You got to make split-second decisions like that. Where ducks, all right, they're coming in, they're coming
in. You're watching them all the way in. Yeah.
Well, and your dog is with you as well.
And you can, worst-case scenario, you've got a breaking dog, you can tie him up in the duck blind, you know, and that's, you don't have to worry about that at all.
Mm-hmm. No, we are still not going to train dogs steady to wing and shot. I'm hearing people say that already.
Uh-huh.
No, it's still not happening.
Yeah, no, no. We want our dogs on those birds. We want the bird in the bag.
In the bag, and I want dogs moving.
Yep.
Readjusting. So before any quail hunters get on here.
Yeah.
Get bent.
Says
a bonanza.
Yeah, I can say from experience it's a little different in Alabama for sure. Alabama and South Georgia, it is not the same. Different birds, different ways to go about it. So,
all right, here's a good one for you. Best day of the season, Jay.
Wow.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of really great hunts this year and just really great guys that I've met. Honestly, the hunts that I had the last 2 days have really been, they were outstanding. They really, really were good. And I'm not just saying that because they're fresh in my mind. These were big hunts and great guys. And I get through having these really good shooters, but at the same time, I've had really good days. I do remember a day where there was two gentlemen and they both bought their younger kids. And it was the kids' first hunt. And I don't have kids, so me being able to help teach these kids how to hunt their first time out and each get a bird, that is something I won't forget.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a little
and
bit.
And they won't either.
Right. And so I guess that's about it, you know, as far as my best days, you know.
Yeah.
Spence?
It's hard to beat that those really good days with a lot of birds, but I had a couple of good laughing days, I will say, where we found a lot of birds, did not shoot a lot of birds.
Yeah.
And sometimes those days are fun when guys can make fun of themselves, I'll say
when
that.
When they understand.
When they
there's
know.
Nothing worse.
When the guys realize they're out here to have fun and it really doesn't matter. Because that's what, at the end of the day, that's what we're here for, is to provide an experience and provide a fun time outdoors. And the number of birds is just a cherry on top at the end of the day. But I've got this one hunt sticks in my mind, and I honestly tell other hunters about this hunt because of how just ridiculous it was. We flush, so I keep a little count of how many birds we flush on every hunt just for my own personal, like, recollection on the day, and I write it in the log book, and just so I know how the dogs and I performed each day, because, you know, you get different shooters in there, you don't know if, you know, the number of birds at the end of the day. Exactly. Dead birds kind of depends on your shooters more than anything else. We flushed up within 30 yards, I only count them if they flush up within 30 yards, within shooting distance. We flushed up 28 birds within 30 yards of this particular day, and we only came back with three. And those guys had the best time. Now, granted, one of there was four guys on this trip. One of them asked, "Hey, we don't have our limit yet. Can we keep hunting?" And I literally looked at this guy dead in the face and said, "Man, I don't know what else we can do. We flushed up 28 birds in 30 yards, and you guys knocked down three. I don't know what more you want me to do for you." You know. So that was a particular day, which I just thought was hilarious. Everybody had a bunch of big laughs, a bunch of big misses.
but it was the attitude of them.
It was their attitude. Yeah. They decided, we're having a great day out here. We're outside. We're having fun. The dogs are working great. And I think, to be honest with you, they were just watching the dogs and weren't ready to shoot and all that kind of stuff. And they just enjoyed watching the dogs all day, and that's fine with me.
So. A tip to being, you know, we treat everyone the same.
Yes, yes.
But there are some clients that the guides really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing I would say, for me, I'm sure it's the same with some of you, it's how they understand, yeah, this is a little bit on us today.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like, yeah. There's nothing worse. Like, don't be this guy. You get done with hunt. Oh, you didn't shoot that many birds. Well, how many shells did you go through?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's going to be one of our first comments. Like, if we felt we did you justice, we're going to be done. Now, we're going to keep hunting, and we're going to get you some flushes.
I was just about to say, we're not going to stop the hunt if we don't feel like we did you justice.
Correct.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you know, are honest with yourself, we're going to be honest with you, and we're going to have a great time. And, you know, if you go about it the right way, we're still going to go.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, my dogs are done. I'm done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The dogs can only do so much. And, yeah, like you said, I mean, might need to go to the trap range for a little bit next time before you go hunting.
We also do shooting lessons.
And, we are hunting. You know, this isn't a kick and shoot. We are hunting these birds.
There's bad days.
Yeah, there's bad days for sure. Weather, you know, all this plays a factor. If it's super dry, the dogs can't smell very well. You know, all the factors come into play. So, it is not a guarantee, but we definitely do our best to provide the best hunt that we possibly can for each and every client.
What? Okay, since no one's going to turn around and ask, "Hey, Jace, what was your best day?"
Hey, Jace.
I'll ask myself that question. Thanks perks to my co-host.
Perks of being the host.
I was going to ask what your worst was. So, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I was going to get to that. I don't know. I didn't really have that many bad days. I will say this. This sucks. Really sucks saying. This is the first time I felt old through the season.
Get a little sore?
Like when I got through those dog days of, you know, middle of October, November.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my shoulders were killing me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was just...
That was me after these last 2 days.
That was the first time, and I'm like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I used to...
Just go, go, go. Yeah.
Go, go. I mean, I would carry 20 birds on my back and have another 5 or 6. I'm out there, I'm like, I'm going to make a pile and come back for these later.
Yeah.
It's like...
It starts to wear on you a little bit.
And I always took the hills. And there's some days I was like, Delaware doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, that flat ground's kind of appealing now, isn't it?
The OLD will seep in.
That was the first time, like, it's hit me, like, I mean, I'm still young. I last 4 days have been 20,000 step days per day, just going. And I mean, I'm fine, but that was the first time where I've felt sore.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like, to me. Now, the best day, there's... A lot of good days, you know. What narrows it down is like yours was hunting with kids.
Mm.
Yours were some high number days and some big laughs days. So some of my best days are the returning dogs.
Mm. Yes, dogs that you've seen before.
Dogs that I've worked or sold them as a puppy, and now they're back. Like, you know, Banks somewhat lives with me, but the first time we brought Banks back and, like, we were piling birds over Banks, I was like,
There's some pride there.
That's got to be pretty satisfying.
Yeah, when you... Or, when someone brings a puppy and they're hunting with their parents and they're, like, right along with it, you're like, fuck yeah.
Because that's got to be just I only have that experience with one dog, and seeing my personal dog do stuff that we've trained and worked on and built up towards is so satisfying, it's hard to describe. But I can only imagine having that same feeling with, like, a bunch of dogs, you know, and you get that feeling over and over and over again.
It's a constant high that I'm chasing. Like, I mean, just this weekend, hunting Colonel. He was a short hair puppy born last year, and he got to go on his first few guided hunts. And he went off and pointed in the strip next to me. Now, normally, all my other dogs, I'm pulling off.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
yeah.
That's his first solo bird. Mm-hmm. It's like, I waved at the guy. I'm like, go get that bird. And I was mm-hmm. just thinking to myself, I'm like, don't freaking miss that bird. Don't miss that
bird. My God.
And this dog's on point, and all the three other dogs are over in my strip. They found a covey of chucker, so there's shots going off, and Colonel's just laying, like, locked on point, not moving. And he goes over, and the client has hunted here a bunch, and he knows. He's like, okay. Colonel repositions a couple times. Big old rooster gets up. He whacks him, and Colonel retrieves him. I was like, Yeah. One of the guys like, what are you fist bumping for? I'm like, this dog's first hunt, and he's kicking ass right now.
Yeah. And little do you know.
Serious pride. And you're like, wait, that's his first hunt? Uh-huh. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, you can tell a lot on a dog on their first few hunts. Like, they'll grow. Like, you're dealing
with Greg. That's not all you got.
Greg right now. He's growing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those, you know, you have a hammer.
Yeah.
Like, you'll, on those.
When one is a hammer, you know you've got one.
When one's a hammer, and on his first two hunts he's hammering, you're like, hell yes.
Yeah.
This guy's going to be something in the future. Crappy thing is, I'm probably going to sell him, but.
Yeah.
That just goes from a $2,000 dog to an $8,000 dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, mm-hmm. yes.
How many dogs do you think that you have trained here over the years?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
How many hundred?
Maybe Creston 3.
Yeah.
Maybe 3. I don't think I'm quite to 5. I'm not in the thousands yet, but I'm up there.
Yeah. What is the best dog that you've ever trained? Besides Coach and Melvin.
Okay, time out. I'll throw this out there. Coach, I had no idea. That dog taught me more than anything. And thank the Lord that dog has had patience. Because when I got him, I was working for a crop dusting company and had him in the, and I was home. And when he was 6 months, it was in the summertime. And I was working like 10, 12 hour days. And I would come home, turn the yard lights on, and train. And this is, we just talked about this on the last podcast. You weren't on this, but you got to have the right state of mind in training dogs. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're having a shitty day, you're going to screw things up more than you're going to accomplish. And I mean, every day I was having a shitty day, and this dog just forgave every mistake I made. So
thanks, buddy. Yeah, he knew how to train better than you did, I guess.
Yeah, he's like, and I mean, we might have a bad day out there, and I would come in, and he would curl up right next to me. I mean, the dog still, all he wants to do is be right next to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just, love that dog to death.
You know, one of the first things you told me was about my attitude.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have that positive attitude. Don't be in a bad mood or don't even train. They'll feel that and it won't work
out. Now, as a trainer, there's some days where I'm like, I got to put this shit away because I got things to get done. But, I mean, I got to switch my attitude and, you know, find a way to do that.
You just got to clear the slate in your mind and go out there before you go out there. Yeah.
I might chill for 20, 30 minutes before I go do something. But, yeah, you gotta be in the right frame of mind. Melvin, worst dog I ever trained. Worst dog I ever trained. I couldn't get him to do shit. He wouldn't point. And I'm trying to train this dog in the summertime. He hated the heat, so when he did get a bird, he would take the bird and hide under the trailer and sit in the shade. Worst dog I ever trained. So I was like, screw it. You're either figuring this out or you're not. I just started dumping him on guided hunts. Yeah. And like the second guided hunt, he pointed a bird. And then after that, he's been Melvin ever since.
How about that?
You just figured it out.
Did it take him being with the other dogs?
Yeah, that helped a lot. Because, I mean, after he found one bird by himself, he just ran around. And he still does it a lot, just runs around honoring. He'll find a lot of his own birds, but he just... And that's why he probably learned more off of Cash than I taught him, because he hunts. He's a griffin, and he hunts way more like a shorter. This guy ranges more than any other griffin I've ever hunted with. Like, if you let him, he'll be out there 40, 50 yards. Mm-hmm. But if there's a dog pointing 80 yards away, he's honoring. I don't know. You were comparing, or you said my dogs. I was just saying, wanted to throw that out there. Coach trained me. Melvin had very little training. He was just a nightmare in the training. He'd be a dog I would have sent home.
Yeah.
He was lucky I owned him, but he got like seven chances, but he was a dog I would have sent home.
Best dog I've ever trained.
Yeah, in the kennel or client dog.
Waterfowl would have to be probably, and I say this all the time, but I'm sorry, people, don't yell at me. This is just my what I've seen. Normally, the hardest labs to train are chocolates. I know it has nothing to do with color. People don't. I know. I know. But I'm just saying, normally they're.
Jace hates your brown dog.
when dealing with them, chocolates tend to be the harder dogs to train. But the best lab I've ever trained was a chocolate.
There you go. All right. There you go. Yep.
But waterfowl, he was just easy. Ozzy was awesome. He was a litter that was born here. Well, it was actually the first litter that was born here that I dealt with.
Mm.
And trained him up. He was the first dog that I taught how to do hand signals. So that was cool for me.
Yeah.
And then I've got to hunt with the dog a few times. He didn't like geese right away, but
none of them do.
We went up to Canada with him, and he was awesome. As far as, like, kennel dogs, you know, it's funny now that I've been here 5 years, there's more dogs in there that I've trained versus ones I haven't.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So, like, I would say Brandy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But she was also, like, the first dog that I held as a puppy as I worked here and trained all the way up through.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's, like...
Might be a little sentimental value in there.
She's, like, my little princess.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
She knows, like, I like this guy.
She can do whatever.
Yeah. But she's a hammer. She's awesome. I'm trying to think. That's probably the best pheasant hunting dog I've trained.
Did you train Cash?
No. Cash was here. Now, Cash was two when I came here, I think. And you want to talk about trying to keep a dog close.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was impossible.
I can see that.
I know. My first year, my dog strings, I always run a male and a female dog string for the most part. I had 2 8-year-olds on each string.
Jeez.
And 2 younger dogs on each string. And so it was Heidi and Brandy, or Heidi, Willow, and Brandy was my female string. And you guys never met this dog named Taz, and some of our older clients will appreciate Taz. But it was Cash, Taz, and Coach was my other string. My first 2 years, I only ran 3 dogs at a time for the most part. 8-year-old wire hair who had 1 patch of wire hair on his body. I mean, this dog was the ugliest freaking dog in the world.
Mm.
He had the face like a wire hair, but he was smooth, and he had 1 patch of wire in here right on his back. He dug under 3 kennels one time to breed a female.
Wow. He had
a dog in heat.
I love outside. That tenacity.
And he didn't dig out and then dig back in. He dug under 3 kennels to breed this female.
Incredible.
And as an 8-year-old, he hunted. So funny, because he was old, and he was taking it easy. He would walk, you know, on once the day kind of was, the morning hunt, he was good, the afternoon
hunt. Yeah, after the first 2 strips.
Yeah, he was like, he would just walk on the downwind side, and then he would point in.
Sure.
It could be 3 feet in front of him. It could be on the other side of the strip. He was done. He did his job. I'm no longer helping.
He said, I know what I'm doing. Yeah.
Bird over there, yeah.
And so I would have to go find that bird, and I'd just be doing big walks, kicking around, and like, what are you doing? I'm like, there's a bird here somewhere, and he's not going to help. You can tap him. You can say, get the bird. He's done. Unless you shot the bird over top of him, he wasn't going to retrieve it either. But he's a great dog. One time we were hunting RLDM, and I forgot my controller.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, shit, I don't want to drive all the way back. So I text Sherry, hey, will you bring my controller down? I dropped Heidi, Taz, my 2 8-year-olds, and I had one. Rio was a really old lab at the time, and I just ran them for the majority of the hunt. It was, thank God it was cold, but it was a very, very slow hunt. There was no rush whatsoever.
Yeah. Took some time on that one, huh?
Your dog, String, who's your favorite?
Bryn is just a hammer. You can't deny it. She's definitely dog number one.
Now, this is something that you guys, I'm sure, are starting to figure it out. As guides, there's some things that you don't think about coming into it that you have to start thinking about. I can't be an elk guide and not pack an elk off the mountain. I can't be a waterfowl guide and not know how to call. Mm-hmm. Well, I do.
Well, I've met a few.
Well, Jace is one of them. Shut up. Let the mojos work.
They're call shy.
Yeah, the birds are call shy right now. Didn't you just get new birds? Doesn't matter.
Yeah. They don't like a call, trust me.
But to be an upland guide, you got to be a little bit of a dog trainer.
Oh, no
yes.
doubt.
Yes, yes. Yeah, no, I've learned that, yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, shout out to Butters. Love you, brother. But that was one of the things he said when he first got here because, you know, as you guys know, I've been putting puppies on your strings because
mm-hmm.
I got client dogs and I got puppies, so I got to spread out the load. And one of the things he said was, hey, I'm a guide. I'm not a dog trainer. I'm like, and that's not how this works.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want to be a dog trainer, you can guide these things with no dogs.
Yeah.
Right.
And we'll see what your success rate is.
Well, it's one of those things, you know, you can't hunt with the same four dogs for forever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and even then, how are you going to get those trained up? Or, you know, you know, even the hunt is kind of a continuation of the training.
Yes.
So.
You gotta be thinking and training dogs and how this is going to work. So your success story this year so far is Ridge.
Ridge, yeah, and Harry, really.
Harry,
and hopefully Greg here soon. Greg is another dog that's just like Harry. I'll kind of cover both of them. Super, super timid. It took me probably at least 4 weeks to get Harry to trust me enough to put him in the trailer and, like, start hunting for me.
And just a background, we've talked about these dogs before, but a lot of these dogs came from a or I guess not Greg, but Harry came from a kennel that went out of business, and we bought 8 dogs sight unseen.
Yeah. And we don't really wonder why they went out of business.
Yeah.
Because Harry took some work. But, yeah, just knowing the difference in between Bryn, my number one, my hammer, pretty much all you got to do. She's a great hunter, great retriever. She finds 75% of the birds that we kick up because she gets there before the other dogs. They would find them too, but... And then Harry, you know, what you got to do with Bryn is reel her in. You've got her, she's an alpha dog. Just because she's a female doesn't mean anything. She is getting after it.
She's number two in the kennel.
Yeah, well, that's debatable. But Harry, you have to almost kick him out there a little bit. Like, hey, come on, buddy. It's okay. It's okay. He's scared of everything, you know, off the bat. And every dog is different in some sort of way. You know, Harvest and Satori, they might sit there and point at one feather, you know.
They literally will point at a feather.
That were there, that, you know, a bird might have been there 3 days ago and left a feather behind. They will sit there and hold on that feather. And you just got to know, you can tell in their body language. Now, first starting out, it was really difficult to figure out if there's actually a bird there or not. But now I can totally tell by their body language. No, guys, keep on moving. They're just acting funky. They'll move on as soon as we move up. Or,
and that's
hey,
part of why,
is a bird
why we do strings, that way everyone can build knowledge on their dogs. Because mm-hmm. there's, yep. you know, if I gave Harvest...
It's tough to go in blind.
Yeah, Harvest Satori to a random person, they're going to think that they just hit the jackpot and there's going to be 1,000 birds in this field.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to watch things. You know, their their sign is not their tails, mm-hmm. but their head placement.
Yes. If head is high, no bird. If their head is scraping the ground, then there's probably a bird in there.
Where I'd say Brandy's the opposite. Her tail is her sign. If she's flagging, mm-hmm. she's birdie, but she doesn't have a pinpointed.
Yeah.
But when that thing stops, you're good to go.
Yeah.
You know, I learned a lot about how you got to gain the dog's trust as well. I found that, you know, and then they'll listen to you better.
Once they know you mean well.
Yeah, and that we're going to have a good time. We're going to go find some birds. I'm not going to be bad to you or anything like that. You know, my experience was Bonnie. You know, Bonnie would not listen to me at all at the beginning of the season, and she would just do her own thing and just run around and just have a great time. But now she is awesome, and she hunts well. She is part of the team, and I think that it was a mutual thing almost that her and I got together with or something like that, because now
Jay was crazy. Back there, you figure this out or I'm putting you down.
It was frustrating.
There is two sides to it. So some guys like need to cool it down on these dogs. Like some guys get overzealous with that e-collar.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's part of it. And then the other thing is some guys, don't mean to point fingers, need to be a little tougher.
Mm-hmm.
You got to figure out that dog.
Oh, yeah.
There's a reason we put them on there, but you sometimes, you know, you got to have a...
When every dog is different, too.
Yeah.
You know, some dogs can only take a 2. Other dogs might take a 5 just to get their attention, you know, so...
Buster had to have 2 collars when I was working with him.
When we first started. Yeah. But you kind of like, you taught, or we went over this, but you were like, okay, this happens after a tone, so you might as well start listening to the tone. And it's amazing how you can turn one of those stubborn dogs into an easygoing dog if you just do it consistently. Yeah. But you can't, a lot of these dogs, you give them an inch.
They'll take a mile.
They're taking miles.
Yeah.
And that's the one nice thing. Like, we're all pretty uniformed on how we run dogs, mostly because you guys were taught by the great, but...
Got my boots on, thank God.
But that's, I mean, part of pheasant hunting or being a pheasant hunt guide is being a dog trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's something that you guys probably weren't aware of when you signed up for the job, but learned quickly that's part of it. And now you got your own pointer.
Yep.
That you're learning how to do, and she's doing awesome.
But I'm making mistakes with her too.
That's the beauty,
all part of the process. Yeah. You know,
we're learning together.
That first dog, you get some. I mean, my first 10 dogs, guiding or training here. Thank the Lord that they were patient with me. But you know, now one of those things you learn. It's tough because most people train a dog, they don't do it for 10 more years, so they forget, or a lot of guys don't spend the time with the second dog as much as they did with the first dog.
Yeah.
You know, it came so much easier to the first dog. No, buddy, you spent way more time with it.
That's all you did.
That was the center of your world at that time. Okay, what else on the season? What was your worst day? We know what Jay's was.
Yeah. I know what his was.
I did have a bad day.
He's got his name on a trophy because of his bad day.
That's what I was about to say.
I forgot about that. And let me break this news. I think I'm the first person
ever. You are the second. Okay. Jason Christensen for sure has one before you.
Okay, so I wasn't the first, thank God. But I had a hunt where we came back with 0 birds, and that was not fun.
So, ladies and gentlemen, his best hunt, he only shot 3. In his worst hunt, he got 0. All right.
Yeah. You don't want to hunt with me. When you hear Spencer's your guide, you'd be like, oh God.
Yeah. We better be duck hunting today.
Now, normally you put a 0 on the end of that 3, though.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, there was a tough day, and it was that 0 day was definitely mutual fault there. Because it's not like we didn't.
The guides.
It's not like we didn't find
blame the shooters.
Yeah. Well, that's the go-to excuse, is it not? But, and now, granted, that's what I was just about to say. We did not find as many birds as I would say we typically do on a hunt. I can't remember exactly what the conditions were that day, but I want to say it was like really dry, and we were having a tough time finding birds.
Really dry. It was raining.
Yeah.
And there was so much wind there that there was no wind.
Yeah, exactly. I think we kicked up 10 or 12 birds within range, and they just knew how to get out of there. You know, we didn't have a single one get up and fly straight away from us or anything like that. They'd always get up, fly around somebody's belt loop, and then get on out of there and that sort of thing. And there were shots fired. There were shots fired that day, quite a few of them. But, ended up coming back with a big old goose egg. Now, granted, we turned it around that afternoon and found some birds, had a good hunt.
Thank the Lord it was a package hunt where they can make up for it in the afternoon.
Oh, God.
That would have been a terrible half day.
Yeah.
We made it up for them on the second half of the day, but.
Yeah, I got to get your trophy.
Yeah. That was definitely by far the worst hunt, not the worst day because we had a good afternoon, but yeah, that was pretty 0 rough.
I remember when you said that. I was like, what? Yeah. I'm like, Butters is always at least came in with one bird.
Oh, But yeah, I think if we averaged it out, we'd be okay.
All right. You know? This summer, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to doing a lot of habitat work around here. We got a shrub plan going in. We've got two spots that we're going to be planting close to 2,000 shrubs, whether that be white osier dogwoods. Hell, what else did I order? A bunch of good
I'll
stuff.
I'll give this to the man because I helped with a couple shrub plants. Never once checked the soil.
Yeah.
No, never once checked the soil.
I mean, come on now. That was the first thing we did.
That might be one of the main reasons why my shrub plants never worked.
You know, I mean, if you're putting something that wants acidic soil and alkaline soil, you know, it's not really going to work out too well for you.
You can tell someone got a degree in economics. Someone got a degree in, what is yours?
Wildlife.
Wildlife, exactly.
Yeah. Wildlife. Yeah.
He pays attention.
Yeah. Well, and it wasn't even like I learned that much in class. It's just,
oh, you're
you
just
know,
saying
you know,
it's basic. Or it's common sense.
Well, no, no, not even not
you
even common
James,
sense.
That's common sense.
Well, you know,
you can't plant a cactus up here.
Coming from a guy who used to work for a big ag producer that never thought about soil pH, that tells you all you need to know.
I thought, you know, if they're giving, if they're in this program, they gotta grow. Don't they?
Yeah, yeah, they're growing whatever.
I was like looking, which one's the prettiest?
Which one would be the prettiest to shoot a pheasant over?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, one's going to get big, but not too big.
Yeah. See, I'm thinking, we did some pretty good research, figured out how tall they would grow in perfect soil conditions. And because, you know, we want that good mid-story shrub is what we want for winter cover and also cover to hold up. You know, if we get a big snowstorm, all that kind of stuff, we need something for these birds to go to. As a refuge, really. And now, granted, I'm going to get in there and hunt it after we plant them as well. But you know, that's
the
very important habitat
thing.
Component.
It takes forever.
Yeah, but it's a super important habitat component for these birds. You know, life cycle. Well, everybody thinks early succession burning every 2 years to get that 60 to 70% grass that you're looking for, but you know, the other 25 to 30% for their habitat requirements needs to be that kind of woody shrub type cover to provide some food and that overhead cover
over your aerial predators. I will weird. Don't remember who I was talking to this, but late season hunting, and I thought about it to myself. I've shot more wild birds out of cedars,
yep,
than anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. And we really don't want those cedars on the landscape. You know, they're kind of taking over. We don't mind, yes, a few of them, but having big rows and big tracts of cedars is not ideal habitat because there's nothing on the floor of the forest at all. All it is cover. That's all it provides.
Yes, but that's something to think about. Okay, hey, we're in the Midwest. Where can these birds go,
mm-hmm,
when there's 8 inches of snow?
Yep.
That grass does not hold up.
No, it doesn't. And they have to go somewhere.
They do have to go somewhere. They got to get out of it, so they're going to find somewhere to go.
Yep.
The plum thickets are gone. You know, everybody's taken out their rows of plum thickets, and,
mm-hmm,
and that's where they always hung out.
There's no fence rows anymore. Everybody, yep, farms fence line to fence line.
Hey, it's my 80 acres. I'll do whatever the hell I want.
That's right. And that's your
prerogative. You know what I blame?
What's that?
GPS.
Yeah. GPS farm equipment is, yep, not our brand. Because
they don't. You don't need a fence line anymore.
No, that's right. No. But literally, the fence lines nowadays, what used to be a fence line, is just a transition from beans to corn.
Yes.
That's all it is.
There's no more fence lines.
Yeah, they don't exist. And that's why, you know, that's a big reason our habitat has gone down is because of that.
It was mostly grass, but the waterways have all been replaced with terracing as well. You know, they don't have that, mm-hmm, big drainage, you, yeah, know, strip.
That streamside management zone.
Sort of. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's just a different game.
The terrorists did that?
Yeah, yeah, with AK-47s. They came in. It was rough. Get rid of those waterways now.
Yeah. See, down south, we have, back where I'm from in Alabama, they have what's called streamside management zones. And there's a certain, I believe it's like 30 to 50 yards on either side of any sized creek or any kind of waterway that you are not allowed to cut down all the trees on.
Oh.
You can do timber stand improvement in there and cut down some, that sort of thing. But just for erosion purposes, you're not allowed. And now, granted, back in Alabama, we get 80 inches of rain a year, so it's a little bit more important to have erosion control. But that is definitely not the case up here.
Right. Right.
No, I would agree. I mean, just in my 28 years of existence, 15 years ago, I remember walking fence lines, kicking up birds.
Yeah.
No fence lines to walk anymore.
Mm-hmm. No. And that's why we are so successful here, is because we provide habitat. So if they're, you know, all the birds that are born and raised up in the, in our county just flock to us because we have the best primo habitat, and we've got it all spread out too. It's not all just in one place. Yes. So that definitely helps us out a ton.
These birds do move a little bit, so give them somewhere else to go.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm excited. You brought that up, the thickets. It sucks. It takes a long time, but we're starting to see, like, our lanes getting that thick. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Because you know everyone that drives down that lane is going to look over there, and there's just going to be a bunch of birds just hanging in there.
Oh, yeah.
And then the PB is starting to grow, so I'm excited for some more thickets.
Keep that cut up this
year.
New
Duck Lake plan.
Yeah, I got big plans for the Duck Lake. We'll see how much we can get done down there. Really looking forward to that because we've got some great spots with just a few improvements. It could really be some good holes.
Jay, what are you looking forward to this summer?
We kind of already touched on it, you know, more of the dog training. I really am trying to learn as much as I can and enjoying working with the dogs and being encouraged to take some time with those dogs. Yeah, just learn more about the whole organization and how everything that we do here matters in its own little way for the bigger picture. You know, that's a big deal, you know. Taking care of the kennel is as important as taking care of the dogs themselves, you know, things like this. The land that you're talking about, the habitat, it all matters. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just ignore certain aspects of this whole situation and expect it to work.
Yeah. You can't have great dogs and nowhere to hunt them.
Correct. You know? Yeah.
It is quite amazing because we do get like, what's the biggest side of the business? Well, there's hundreds of sides of the business.
Yeah. Okay? It's all one thing.
I mean, hunting's probably the biggest side of the business. We can't hunt or do the quantity and quality hunts we have without a kennel.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't pay to have a kennel if for 5 months of the year the dogs are doing nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have someone there, and then if you're going to have 40 dogs, you got to have a plan for when dogs get old and mm-hmm. you know, retire and replacement dogs. So you got to breed and train dogs.
Yep.
So okay, if I'm going to have someone there to do that for our dogs, you got to do that on the outside dogs.
Yeah.
This quality of establishment, okay, you need so many number of guides, okay. What else do hunters like to do when they're not hunting? They like to shoot clays.
Mm-hmm.
So to have someone to offer that in the summertime, you know, you got to offer it for our hunters. So it gives someone a reason to come up here in the summer to do something. And it also keeps another person busy.
And practice, so we don't have any more zeros.
Exactly. You got to you got a lodge.
Yeah, I was going to say the lodge. You got to have that facility so that it isn't just people that can drive here on a day trip.
Yes.
They're going to come in for the experience.
Okay, now that we got a lodge, we got to have a chef.
Yep.
Okay. Exactly. Who wants to be a chef 7 months out of the year? So now you got to have a place for them in the summertime to cook and bring people in. Yep. There's like so many little things that just go into a pheasant hunt that people don't realize.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
The pheasant hunt is the end of it. I mean,
it's the finished product.
That's the goal. But getting there, it's a year-long process.
Yeah.
It really is.
People say, and I've been at fault of the week, saying we have a busy time and a slow time. No, we're busy all the time.
Yeah.
We're just
the work just begins now for the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Because nobody sees that because they're not
at the end of the year, and truly at the end of the year, we go up with, we set a fire to it.
Yeah.
We burn everything to the ground, or for the habitat anyways. We'll burn half the habitat to the ground and restart.
Yeah.
And that's work.
Because that's what it takes to keep that early succession. You know, if we let that stuff grow up, you know, 4 years down the road, and that's not a long time. If you just let this stuff go for 4 years, it's no longer pheasant habitat.
No. I mean, yes, no, it's not pretty pheasant. It's nasty.
It's not ideal habitat. Yes. Say that.
So I mean, it is unique. You know, when you put it, it's a puzzle, and every little piece goes into that puzzle.
Yes. And sometimes, you know, guys make comments like, "Oh, you guys just get to go play with dogs every day." Well, yes, we do, but that is the job. You know,
I don't know.
Do you like how well these dogs work in the field? Because if so, you'll want us to work with him.
You know how
summer.
Many strands of hair Jace has pulled out trying to train that dog?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then there's the dog. You have the bad days with dogs, you know, when they age out, when they start slowing down, when you have a dog get shot in the field and, you know, 4 years of work just gone. Mm-hmm. You got to restart. I mean, it is quite unique. You know, every time I get asked that question, it's like there's no simple answer to it.
It's a different job.
People ask me, so what's your other job? Like, how many days a week do you do? I'm full time. This is what I do. We are always doing something here. The guiding is the gravy. The guiding is the frosting on the cake. That's is right. What that is. It's building everything up that I'm looking forward to this summer.
Yeah. We do get asked that a lot because I'm sure. I mean, I would say majority of other places you only guide for 3 months and then have fun.
I was just gonna make a comment. I even got asked yesterday by this last group that was here. Well, what are you gonna do when season's done? You moving back to Alabama? No, I'm here. This is where I work. Yeah, you know, yes, I'm guiding you, but there's many other facets to this behind the scenes that you do not see.
Working at a hunt club isn't always. I mean, it's pretty great. I love what I do, but there's days where you're like, ah.
Oh, it's still work. Yeah. It's still work for sure. Yeah, it's still a job, but it's just a job in the entertainment business. You know, at the end of the day,
you're always wrong. The client's always right.
That's right.
Unless it comes and the weather's never ideal.
No.
Ever.
Knock on wood. We had pretty good weather this year.
Yeah.
It was a little warm early. I will say that was the warmest.
Yeah, October was a little hot for me.
We were still having 75, 80 degree days in October. That was getting nonsense.
And it's been a little windy lately.
That's Nebraska.
Yeah.
I don't mind wind. I can take heat. I can take cold somewhat. I can't. Trust me. Freaking nuts. I can't stand not making it to work.
Oh man, I think the maddest Jace has been at me this year is because I made it to work one day that he couldn't, that was like 2-3 weeks ago.
Bad
I was storm.
Pissed. Abigail was like, "Why are you so mad?" I'm like, "I should be at work. Jay made it. I should be at work." She goes, "You couldn't get in." I'm like, "I should have. Like, there
should have been there.
There's no way." I'm like, "I should have just woke up earlier and tried."
Yeah, and I was thinking the same thing until I found out that power lines were across the road, and I couldn't have got there anyways.
Yeah, I was out of power with a low tire.
Yeah,
and I wasn't. I mean, I'm not changing a tire in the snow. So
that's not very fun.
No,
but it's all part of it.
Yeah,
that's all part of the deal. You know,
next year, what are you looking forward to? You're gonna have. We're gonna take it. We're still gonna work our butts off. It's gonna be a little easier. You know, we're not gonna have a lot of 18-hour days, 14-hour days. But what's a goal for you for next season?
Oh, man.
There is a right answer for the both of you.
I don't know if a goal is in mind per se, but I tell you what I'm looking forward to is starting out strong because now we know these dogs, we know the land, we know the game, and it's going to be a lot. You know,
there's
last
no learning
year,
curve.
The learning curve is, you know, is still there for sure. There's always something to learn. That's one thing I can't stand is when guys think they have – something figured out, whether that be waterfowl hunting, upland hunting, whatever. You can always learn something. So that'll be fun to start out just guns blazing next year, ready to rock. I don't know. I'm trying to sit here and ponder what you're wanting our goal to be.
Jay?
You know, I hope my wife hears this, or maybe I don't. My goal is to get my own string going. You know, I've got a puppy now. I can't wait to hunt with Ginger in my string next year. That is a big time.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
The pride I hope I feel with that. I'm really looking forward to it.
A couple of letdowns too.
Yeah, of course. You know, but maybe getting another puppy. You know, maybe starting to train other dogs.
Correct. Yeah. I knew that was it. Yeah. Correct answer.
Getting 8 more dogs per person.
You need. So once again, Spencer. What's your goal for next year?
Oh, I'm going to have to acquire another dog for sure at some point.
What breed is that dog going to be?
God, I'm just so torn in between the great German short-haired pointer and the wire-hair pointing griffin.
Doesn't matter to me. They both point. That's all I care. Heads up to anyone listening that wants to be an upland guide someday.
Pointing lab.
No. Get a pointer just for us anyways and for a lot of other lodges. One lab is not enough to guide pheasant hunts 90 days throughout the year. It is not.
My lab is tired.
You need a pointer. And the other reason you need a pointer is to put on a show. You want to give these guys a show.
That's why they come here to see the dogs.
If you can drop 3-4 pointers on the ground and these dogs are going to back and point birds and, you know, walk up within 10 yards and then you flush up the bird and the bird gets up in front of them, put on that show. You are going to be a lot more wanted as a guide and you are going to be tipped way better than just a guy walking around with a lab saying, be ready, he's birdie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Retrieve. Put on the show. So Spencer's right answer or answer is now correct. We are going to get a pointer.
Yeah.
And you know the nice thing about once you have your own pointer, I can't take that dog from you.
Can't steal that one, buddy.
Can't take that dog. It's locked in on your string.
You might just have to buy Bren.
I'll sell you Bren. $25.
I can't afford her. Yeah, that's the only problem.
You know, the clients, the hunters, absolutely are mesmerized when they see the dogs working well and together, the pointers staying on, holding that bird, sending your flusher in. It's a plan. It works. Some of the time, I've had hunters literally just not shoot.
I've had that happen a lot of times. Because, thank you for that, but we have 4 more birds till our freaking limit, and I'm not coming in without a limit.
Yeah. Pull the trigger.
Pull the trigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Now tell me how good my dogs are.
Right.
Yeah. I'll get a video for you.
What do you want your next dog to be?
Well, I have my pointer, right? And she's going to be a good, you know, utilitarian, hopefully do almost everything kind of dog. One of the best things about the Griffons is that.
It's pronounced Griffon.
Griffon. Griffon.
I'm joking. I'm not one of them.
I was about to say, don't you start that.
You know, I know there's going to be people listening who are going to be like, what's he talking about? I hunt with some of the best English Cocker Spaniels in the world. I swear to God, man. Steel is a little machine. He is just, he's awesome. Mm-hmm. He impresses people. I tell people as soon as we're getting going on the hunt, I'm like, okay, I hope you guys are all ready. Who's hunted with a Cocker before? And if you have, I'm like, well, get ready because you're going to be impressed with this guy and how well he works. I was so close to taking home one of those puppies early, you know, a few weeks ago when we had that litter. My wife almost would have left me if I had brought home 2 puppies at the same time.
They forgive you after 3 days. Yeah. Like, you know, I've heard that story a lot.
I'm,
after 3 days.
I'm thinking maybe one of the Cockers. I really am so impressed with how they work.
Tell us about Steele's little trick that he does.
Which trick?
How he's kind of a pointing Cocker.
Okay, so he keys on the pointers on the GSPs. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's doing his thing, running around. When he notices a dog is on point, he will go right up to that GSP.
He'll swing downwind. He always comes in from the back.
Mm-hmm. And he'll find the bird and he will literally like point down at it. Like he's only like 12 inches tall.
If the bird doesn't flush, yeah.
Yeah, and then I can tell him flush, and he'll just jump on the bird and try to get it up. But he works as a team in tandem with these pointers. He's incredible.
That guy
has got 6-inch legs, and he will out retrieve any lab and a GSP who's on that bird. It doesn't matter. Outdo it. He's so impressive.
I think that I've only hunted with Steel one time.
Thank you.
And by the way, he's named after the chainsaw.
Thank
Steel.
You.
Yeah.
Thank
I
you.
Was
I
amazed.
Steel, just let you know.
I was amazed at Steel because I've never seen such a short little dog stand up as high as he can on his front little legs and look straight down.
Straight
I mean,
down
just imagine this little Cocker. It looks like he's on a little step stool or something, and he like chin to chest, looking straight down on this bird. Mm-hmm. And then you just tell him, flush him up, and he goes in there and gets him up.
There's a bird there. I mean, it's right there.
Yeah,
it's
under him. It is under his nose.
Yeah, yeah. It's great working with him. I you know, Sully and Steele have been the 2 all year that I've said are my favorites. And, you know, that's why I was so heartbroken when Sully got shot.
Yeah.
You know, and thank God she's doing well, and they teamed up again for these hunts the last 2 days on my string, and we're working together just like always. But probably a Cocker Spaniel.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I think my stepdad, he helps with my dogs, but he watches Melvin and Coach that my family does, because I got Bo and another lab right now, but he's probably going to get a cocker, so I'll have a cocker on my string here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Which I do already, and so does Spencer. We all kind of have cockers.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against them. We are all kind of impressed with that breed. You know, it's got its pros and cons, but so far the pros way outweigh the cons.
Yeah.
And it's just they age better, they act better, they eat less and poop less in the kennel, and they can go harder than a lab.
And they have just a great attitude.
Yeah,
they
do. I don't want
their attitude.
I don't want to duck hunt one. No. Or I'll duck hunt one. I don't want to goose hunt one.
Yeah.
Or hunt the Missouri River with one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be great for a teal hunt or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, they're not going to be bringing in.
I should get a
big heavy take hunkers.
One to a junior hunt test.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I'd have to get down on my knee.
Mm-hmm. By the collar.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're awesome. How about you?
What
do you have is there a dog out there, a breed out there that you haven't hunted with that you'd like to?
That I haven't that I would like to. I hate talking this because I just piss people off. I've trained about every breed of dog that I want to. You know, the German Spaniel that there's, I don't know, 200 of them in the whole U.S. Yeah, it doesn't trick my trigger. I've trained a bunch of dogs, a bunch of different breeds. I got ones I like. I got ones I don't. I'm not saying they're good or they're bad, but for my program and how I train.
And for our hunt style.
Hunt style. There's outliers in every breed. I've seen Jack Russell Terriers bring back geese before. There's outliers. I've seen a French Bulldog on a duck hunt, videos of it.
Mm-hmm.
I like my German dogs. I like my English dogs. I think I'm going to get a setter this year.
Irish setter?
English?
Yeah.
Irish setters are very beautiful dogs. Very beautiful. You know, and that's one I've never trained to bird hunt. I've done obedience training on them. But I want my goal, figuring out life right now. It's taken me 5 years, but a lot of my big game dreams are just kind of, you know, that might not happen for a while just because I'm busy October, mm-hmm. November.
Yeah.
It's hard to slip away on a mule deer hunt. It's hard to slip away on a rifle elk hunt. So it's probably not going to happen for a long time. So
you can go shoot one of them land rats anytime. The wing shooting's where it's at.
So I think I'm going to, my goal is to get a setter, get it up and going, and it'll probably take me 3-4 years. And so hopefully I don't think we'll make it. He'll age out. But I'm going to do the upland slam, and I'm going to take a bunch of dogs. I'm going to do it. I want to bring a cocker. I want to bring a setter because my setter is going to be, in my personal opinion, once again, no, they're a little different, but they're kind of similar to an English pointer. But you see setters as an all-round bird dog from the west to the east to the north to the south.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see English pointers going this far north. You don't see wire hairs typically go that far south. So I'll have an English cocker, hopefully the setter. I'm going to grab a short hair. I'm going to grab an English cocker, setter, short hair. I'll have a griffin and probably a lab in there, and I'm going to try and do the North American upland slam. So September 1st and 2nd, we're going to do a grouse camp in western Nebraska, hopefully shoot some prairie chickens and sharpies. Then we'll do some pheasant and quail hunting around here. Next January, I'm either going to Arizona or I'm going to wait on that trip till the next year, and then we'll go up to Alaska in August and do ptarmigan.
Nice.
That'd be cool.
And then all the other birds, we'll just kind of pick a weekend and just go do it. Because, you know, we're away from everything, but we're not too far away from everything. A lot of it's going to be grouse. So I'm 10 hours from sage. I'm 10 hours from spruce. I'm 10 hours from ruff. The big ones are going to be the quail, because I've got to go to Arizona and California. and then the ptarmigan. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be the tough ones. And knock on wood, Abigail wants a kid here soon, so I got to knock some of this out quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's just kind of...
It's nice we're centrally located.
It is.
You know, that helps.
Yeah. You know, like I said, we're 10 hours away from about everything bird hunting other than those quail and those ptarmigan, all the grouse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if they're not here in Nebraska, they're in Wyoming, Montana.
Yeah, that's the good and bad things. We're 10 hours away from everything, but we're 10 hours away from everything.
But, yeah, that's my kind of goal for the year. I got a few more pups, a few more dogs coming up. That's where I'm going to kind of want to see what makes the best all-around bird dog.
All right.
Place your bets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, you can't not go with the lab. I mean, let's be honest.
Wrong.
Oh, my God.
That's the wrong answer.
You just hate it because it's the right answer.
The Griff.
You think it's the Griff? I just don't know how Melvin's going to do in the heat of Arizona.
I think you're going to get a setter, and I think you're going to like it.
I think I'm going to love this freaking setter.
Probably, yeah.
They got pros and cons. They take someone special to run them, but.
That's kind of what I've been thinking about behind the scenes. But I was just going to think about showing up with one and see what he said. Because I thought you hated him.
Oh, I love setters. Yeah. Oh, there's nothing prettier.
That's, yeah.
Than that white flag straight up.
The aesthetic of a setter is tough to beat. Yeah.
But
it's on our logo.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever raised a setter. My first year, we had two of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we've ever raised a setter, so I don't know why it's on the logo.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
The original logo was a setter.
Well, let's get two. I'll get one. You get one.
You're on. What are you going to name yours?
I hadn't thought that far in advance. Maybe something funny.
You guys are girl dog owners, though.
Yeah. I might have to. Well, Lauren wants a male. She wants a little boy. So I might have to get me a male. I don't know if I want a male setter.
I think my Cocker will be a male just because of steel. But I don't know if I want a big dog that's a male.
Radar.
That's a great,
pointer name. Yeah. Radar.
Name yours Radar, and I'll name mine Gator.
For your dog.
And if he points at you, buddy, there's something I got to tell you.
Why is that dog spending so much time with Lance?
He really likes Brian Carl.
Well, I got something to tell you there. You can come out of the closet now.
if Gator points at you.
The dog knows. You can't get it past the dog.
Oh, that's funny.
It's the new fishing thing everyone's pissed off about.
Oh, live scope.
Wow. That doesn't sound as good.
Front-facing sonar.
Front-facing sonar.
Radar and sonar.
There you go.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so we'll have land and sea covered. Yeah.
That's why Spencer dog in the lake.
He's diving for clams.
He's a fish pointer.
There's a 5-pounder right there. Look.
You better throw a frog.
Throw a frog. All right,
throw 10 feet in front of him.
Well, gentlemen, we're going to do more of these as the summer goes on. But that's our year in review. We have, if you're in state, buy a turkey license.
We need some turkey hunters.
We need turkey hunters. Otherwise, I'm going to have to shoot.
I was going to say, otherwise, we're just going to have to mow them down.
And there are turkeys around.
Turkeys, and we have a few guys dog training coming up. We have coming out a 5-stand and wobble trap league.
No doubt.
That's starting when?
That's going to be a good time. Starting in June? First week of June. It'll be
4 weeks.
Little 4-week series. Yeah, so that'll be good and exciting. Shouldn't take long to come up and shoot that. Maybe a good 30, 45 minutes, and you'll be done. We'll keep your score and tally it up to see who wins at the end of the 4 weeks.
You can hang out, shoot more, or you can say peace.
And that's kind of a warm-up to our actual sporting clay league, which will be 8 weeks long, starting the week after the 4th of July. And we always have a big crowd for that. So it'll be kind of a warm-up to that, and we'll see how it goes.
We have dog training. I'm going to have some open dog training seminars coming up throughout the summer, so be on the lookout for them. You get to train with the great Jay Sorensen.
You got two clients sitting right here already.
Yeah, worth every dime.
Other than that, it's summertime.
Yeah.
Get your dog out.
Yep.
Don't let them get fat. Kevin Johnson.
Train your dog and
don't let them get fat.
Train your dog and burn something.
Yeah. We'll light some fires, burn that CRP. Get rid of them shotgun holes. No one wants to look at last year's problem.
No.
Mess. That's right.
Pick them up. Get you a Mojo pick and stick.
Yeah. Not that expensive. I mean, hell, buy a broom, take some of the magnets off the fridge, take some duct tape.
There you go.
Boom. Now those old guys don't have to bend over. Dog training, shoot some clay so you don't embarrass yourself next year.
Plenty of shooting still in the summertime.
No doubt.
Plenty of shooting, probably maybe more.
That's when the shooting sports really take off, for sure.
Yeah. This is your opportunity, not you, so you won't embarrass yourself. You don't want to be that guy that doesn't hit shit on your next hunt.
No, you don't.
So come get shooting lessons from the Spencer Parker.
Yeah, bring it on. We'll get you hitting something.
Guess what? You're high and behind.
Behind again.
Behind again. Triple your lead.
Yep.
Okay, now triple that.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, that's it. Thanks for listening, all seven of you.
we really appreciate our listener.
Yep.
Thanks, Mom. Yeah. Just kidding. Grandma's out there, too.
Yeah.
All right, Grandma.
Oh, good deal.
Yep.
Good podcast.
Good. 3, 2, edit this out. Maybe not. See ya, people. Go Skurs.
This is the In the Field podcast, brought to you by Pheasant Bonanza.